Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Another week of Sports Hubs roll your way right here and right now. Happy Cinco de Mayo, or as we used to call it when we were in college, Cinco de Drinko. Yes, I will definitely be doing some drinking here today with some coffee. Thank you very much. I've got it here right next to me live in studio, and Maybe some waters maybe later on here today, because I tell you what, if you are watching on the Facebook stream that's about to get fired up here in the next 10 to 15 seconds or so, you can already see I got a little bit of sunburn yesterday. I mean, we topped off at, I think it was 80 degrees yesterday. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous day indeed, and I'm a very, very fair-skinned person, so I burn pretty easily. A lot of hours outside yesterday picking some weeds, playing with my daughter, we're doing some chalk, had a couple of walks in there. I look at myself in the mirror, I'm looking to thinking to myself, man alive, you forgot to put on the sunscreen. So just be advised to put on the sunscreen out there, as we've got temperatures all week long that'll be in the mid to upper 70s, maybe even topping off in the low 80s Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So looking forward to a really nice weekend on tap, and looking forward to a pretty dry week as well, right here in the Hub City and surrounding areas. And oh, by the way, speaking of looking forward to, just be advised, we are headed north today for our Spring Snack Sacks. It's our first installment of our Spring Snack Sacks for our 20th year in the mix of that. So if you are out and about in the fields and what have you, and you are north of Aberdeen, just be advised, keep an eye out for us as we are trying to find the farmers out there in the fields and thanking them for their dedication to agriculture here in our region. Lots of great sponsors there. You can check it all out on our website, hubcityradio.com. Matt Pollock, as the clock will hit around the bottom of the hour, he'll be joining us, Ipswich golf head coach. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to seeing and talking with him. And also, we are joined live in studio with Matt McClure, back from his vacation out west. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent. Sounds like you had yourself a very, very nice, relaxing, enjoyable time off. And, you know, I mentioned on the show, I think it was on Wednesday, I said,
yep,
just put it all on red. I didn't say where you went, but, you know, people that can put two and two together,
yep,
would probably know. But overall, you had a good time, and
yeah,
great to have you back.
Yeah, first time there in Vegas. I just had a good time. It was good seeing some friends I haven't seen in a bit. That's what it's all about for me, just seeing some friends and spending some time with friends, just kind of relaxing and stuff. But yeah, it was a fun weekend, and glad to be back here in the saddle and studio, man.
Yeah, I'm not an avid gambler, but every once in a blue moon, I'll play a little bit of something. And my game is roulette.
Oh, that's my game too, man.
That's what you were saying. You said you did okay.
Yeah, I like playing on the table instead of, like, you know, you could do the online stuff.
That's where you get kind of the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've won the last two. I'm okay, now I'm really going to start to feel good about my, oh, double zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the roulette table game for sure. That was my favorite game to play when I was out there. You know, played a little blackjack, some slots. You know, you do it all.
Sure.
You're just trying to get the whole experience. It was my first time there. I wanted to just kind of walk around. I did that. I saw the different, you know, like Caesars. You know, that's like the, you know, I was like, isn't that where Hangover's filmed? Mm-hmm. And it was. And seeing that, I started
to
chuckle. Did
Caesar really live here?
Yeah. We were talking about that scene when we were walking by it. Just a really nice couple of days. And by the end of the trip, I was ready to come back, though, for sure.
See, you did it the right way. I did it the first time I went to Vegas the wrong way, because it was right after my girlfriend and I had broken up, and she was always like, if you ever went to Vegas, I'd break up with you. So I'm like, let's go to Vegas. So I was there for like 5 days.
That's long, man.
It was way too long. I came home and I slept for like a day. It's brutal.
I remember Friday. I think Friday was my last day there, and I was like, ah, man, I could go home right now. Obviously, you stay that extra day, but I was ready to roll after that. I was just, you know, kind of worn out and stuff, and I slept a good bit yesterday, that's for sure.
We'll get into the sports here in just a second, but I got to ask, best food that you ate while you were out there?
Well, they had this, like, bacon-wrapped chicken from a Brazilian restaurant. It was called Pampas out there. It was wild, man. Like, you flipped your card. It was yes and no. Like, if you wanted food, yes, and there's people just coming around with, like, meat, just different kind of lamb, pork, steak, you know, chicken, bacon, all that kind of a sausage, and they're just like, hey, you want some? And I went to the bathroom real quick. I come back. There's, you know, three things of chicken, a sausage, and all that. Plus, it was, like, all-you-can-eat sides, and it wasn't just, like, salad or fries. It was pasta salad. It was like these cheese bread. It was like cheese bread. It was a lot. And I did some damage. Let's just say that.
I loved it. I love to hear that. I was kind of living vicariously through you this last week, shooting you a couple text messages. Oh, you got to check this out. Or did you have fun with here? And sounds like you did. So great to have you back in studio. And now I'm starting to get the itch again. I think I got to go back out west at some
point. It's fun, man. It really is. And we went to the right time. Like, we went a couple weeks. It was warm out there.
Yeah.
It was mid-80s, but you could walk. You get to 95, 100 degrees. I don't think I would have had as much fun, you know, because we walked a ton. I mean, I looked at my Apple Watch. I brought it. I'm like, I got to see how many steps. I think on Thursday I had like 22,000 steps.
I believe it.
It's crazy.
You walk everywhere in Vegas, absolutely. When I was there in July, I think it was over 110. And we did a lot of walking. And let's just say I didn't go to the bathroom a whole heck of a lot because I sweat it all out. It was crazy. But I'm glad that you had a good time. And, you know, I think you had probably even a better time because you did okay there as
yes.
well at the table.
That was nice as well. But, you know, I was trying to tell my friends, it's not that I won that I had the most fun. I had fun because I was able to spend some time with them, so that's good stuff.
Good stuff indeed. All right, the Matt McClure Experience is back. We call him the Cobra.
Also
that guy there, too, as well, on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Let's go ahead and get to the jump, and we're going to get to a lot of high school action from this last weekend. Some Brown County Speedway results there as well. A really nice weekend for the Aberdeen-Roncalli tennis squad. They took care of business over a couple of squads there at the Sioux Falls Christian Invite. Northern State Baseball, they wrap up their regular season. Unfortunately, right when they're hitting their stride, they're playing some really good baseball of late. We'll talk about that. And also some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball from this last weekend as well. Softball, the Redfield Invite took place with Dual, Milbank, Redfield, Clark Willow Lake, and other squads, Kingsbury County. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full and complete details. And of course, this last weekend, you also had more playoff hockey. We'll talk about that. Also had the Kentucky Derby. Did you watch the Kentucky Derby there? It was that Saturday, right?
Saturday. I was traveling Saturday. I missed that.
Yeah, I did too. I did not watch it. Did see a couple highlights on social media. Looked like it was a bit sloppy of a track there. His mother was a mutter, if you understand that reference. You're a friend of mine, but a big fan of Seinfeld. I did not watch that, but I did watch a little playoff hockey there this last weekend. And I tell you, we had Coach Langer on the program on Friday. Kind of got me in that hockey mood. Heck, I'd already been in the hockey mood because of the Wings and their run. But you can't beat playoff hockey. And you said it, Cy said it, we talked about it for the last couple of months, realistically. What is the deal with two-goal leads in hockey. It's crazy. We saw it twice this last weekend. Dallas, they were down 2-0 in the third period. They came back. They won that matchup 4-2. The Winnipeg Jets, they defeated the St. Louis Blues in double overtime. The Blues were up 3-1 in the third period. The Jets scored with 1.6 seconds left. There's something crazy about two-goal leads in hockey not being safe. It's a very, very dangerous lead to have, but man, I tell you what, there's something special about playoff hockey. It was on full display this last weekend.
Yeah, two game sevens, too. You talked about the Stars and Avalanche game. It was a former Avalanche who got traded to Dallas who put that game away. A hat trick against your former team in a game seven to send them home packing. Pretty incredible. And then last night, that Blues and Jets game was a crazy finish. 3-1, they get a tip-in goal late to make it 3-3. The play, how it's set up, was unbelievable. They fan on the shot, comes back to him, and he just sauces it across the opposite side, and they get the shot on, a perfect tip, and then it didn't end early. It didn't end early. They had to go two overtimes. Binnington for St. Louis was incredible. Some of the saves he had in overtime, I think kept St. Louis in the game. But when you were watching that overtime just progress, St. Louis just ran out of gas. Like, they just were struggling to get up and down the ice. For whatever reason, I think the crowd maybe been involved. The Jets, to me, just looked like a faster team. But, wow, what a series that was. What a game seven. I mean, there were so many close chances in both those games. And it's playoff hockey. And anybody, we talked about this a little bit last week. That's kind of where the unpredictability comes. It doesn't matter who's playing. In the NBA, more times than not, you know who's going to win. I mean, let's be real. In the first round. In the NHL, you have no idea who's going to win. That's what makes it so great.
And unfortunately for us, the Minnesota Wild are not in, you know, for the region. You know, regional listeners out there, they're rooting for the Wild, and, you know, they're not in the playoffs anymore. They got bounced in the first round. But you can just turn on any game and be dialed in. Like I was last night, we were texting back and forth. I have zero interest in the Jets and the Blues game. I just don't. But it's playoff hockey. It's game seven. You can't beat it. And oh, by the way, I was thinking this morning, because that second overtime went on for a lot of minutes as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of running out of gas, I didn't tune into the second overtime. I was too tired. If that was on a Friday night or Saturday night, I probably would have stayed up. But last night I went to bed. If you are the goalie or any player for St. Louis or any player on any losing team for this matter, is it easier to lose on a one-on-one play where the other guy just beats you or on a weird redirect? Because that's how it ended last night, just a couple of different bodies hitting all over the place. You know, it felt like St. Louis is just like, well, that's hockey. That's just, it happens that way.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think I'd rather lose on the one-on-one, though, than the redirect, because it's like, I think that puck actually hit a St. Louis Blue,
right,
and went in the net.
Yeah.
And that's a tough way to lose.
I think I'm the exact opposite, just because it's just the luck. It's just the luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it happens that way, bounces off a couple of different bodies. It's not like you were in the wrong position. Like, it's nothing that you could have done better.
Sure.
So I feel like that's easier for me to swallow a loss that way. For me.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm just the opposite. That would really bother me if I was a St. Louis Blues fan and that's how the game ended. Just like and we talk about it all the time. You're not going to get the pretty goal. And you got to give the Jets all kinds of credit, because not the 3-2 goal to make it 3-2, that wasn't pretty. The game tying goal was pretty nice. And then the overtime one, I would have been so ticked off. I really would have. If that's how the season ended, because the Blues had a couple chances in there where they could have ended it easily. I mean, they get the turnover right, and this is like the first overtime. I'm like, game over. And then Hellebuck makes a heck of a save. Wow. What a series that was. What a playoffs for the NHL. I don't care who wins in these playoffs. But it could be any of the remaining eight teams. That's what makes it so great.
And that's just it. Still a long, long ways to go. This popped up on my social media feed. I said, I got to throw this at Cobra. So, this is crazy but true. A nice, interesting piece of trivia for you. Cam Newton. He threw for 400 yards in his first two games as an NFL quarterback for the Carolina Panthers back in 2011. First two starts. Any guesses how many times more he threw for 400 yards in his career? Now, he started in 2011. He played, I believe, until 2021. He was there with the Patriots and just kind of petered out in his career. So two 400-yard passing games, his first two games in his career, the rest of his career, how many more left? How many did he finish with when he finally laced them all?
Is it one?
One more?
One more. Did he do it with the Patriots, though?
He was very close with the Patriots.
Didn't he do it again? I thought he almost did it against Seattle.
Week two in 2020 against Seattle, 395.
Okay, that's the game I'm picking up.
Right.
But so it's not one. How about five?
Do you give up?
Is it zero?
Zero. Zero times. First two games in his NFL career, throws for over 400, never sniffed 400. Well, he sniffed it. He was close, 395 against the Seahawks.
I remember that game. That was a Sunday night game.
That's right. And he went off left guard to win the game on fourth and goal from the one-yard line, final play of the game or whatever down in distance it was. And the Seahawks actually stopped him. But, yeah, 395, I believe, was the closest that he ever became to getting to 400 again.
I remember his debut. It was against Arizona, right?
That sounds right.
Arizona, and he just lit it up, and man, he was a fun player to watch. What he was able to do with his legs and stuff, but you know, I think he would have been like an all time great. He just took way too many hits, and that's really what slowed him down. But that's surprising. You do it twice in your rookie season, and then you don't do it again, and it's also crazy because he won an MVP in there.
He did
in 2015. You'd think maybe he would have done it then. But he didn't. Wow.
Most of it was with his legs, I feel like, in 2015. I mean, his arm was good in 2015, but I think he was just such a refrigerator at quarterback, just a bully. And
he was wildly inaccurate.
Incredibly inaccurate.
By the end of his career, you never knew where that, like a 10-yard out, you didn't know where that ball was going.
Could go into the third row. Pretty crazy. So the nice little piece of bar trivia. You can use that next time you're having some beers with your buddies. Maybe here even today on Cinco de Mayo. Hey, how many times did Cam Newton throw for over 400 yards in his career after his first two games? Zero times. So I guess you can drop in the more you know there. I think, actually, matter of fact, we have it right here. Good stuff. All right, upcoming next on the show, we're talking some Brown County Speedway. It was opening night there, presented by Hub City Radio. Some track and field. You had the 100th running of the Howard Wood Dakota Relays. You couldn't ask for better weather for those folks down south there in Sioux Falls. Talk about that. Northern State notes with the USD tune-up, as well as Northern State baseball. And again, some Smitty's talk as well. Then Matt Pollock towards the bottom of the hour, head coach of the Ipswich Golf Squad. He'll be joining us as well on FSA.
You're locked into Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Touchdown! This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Oh, thank you, voiceover guy. Appreciate that. He is Matt McClure. I am David Tewksbury. This is a Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5, sharing our stories about that Cam Newton Super Bowl there back in the day against the Broncos. I was so happy Denver won that, especially what the Seahawks did to Peyton Manning a couple years prior. And I told you off the air, I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan. The whole dab thing drove me crazy. So I was happy to see him and the Panthers lose. And also the fact that the Panthers beat the Seahawks in the playoffs that year anyway. So, but yeah, what a bad Super Bowl that turned out to be.
That was one of the more forgettable ones that I remember. Yes, it was kind of a close game, and everybody talks about the diving on the ball. Cam Newton, he didn't do that, but that was like Peyton's. Was that Peyton's last year?
It was his last game.
Yeah, he was like very mediocre, I felt like, throughout that year, but the defense was just so incredibly good that they just carry them to that Super Bowl.
He got benched for Brock Osweiler at one point in time that year.
That year he did?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was throwing ducks left and right.
Yeah, he just didn't. He lost the fastball with the. Remember, he could throw a seed.
Yeah.
And those long passes by the end of that, it was like just a duck.
Quack, 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 quack. Yeah. Wasn't pretty. But the Broncos won that game. And, you know, we got some Bronco listeners around the area. So sorry, folks, but, you know, we're not massive fans of that Super Bowl. Much like, hey, you probably weren't fans of 43-8 in 2013, but I sure was. All right. High school action. We'll get to that here in just a second. Brown County Speedway officially underway. from this last Friday night. We had Rusty Rocket on the program, and he said he's anticipating a really, really good year from the Brown County Speedway, and it's off to a really good start. Seeing some new names, seeing some familiar names as well. A couple guys that you mentioned last year, Lightning McQueen, I think it was the reference that you made, and that was, of course, to Kent Arment. He won in the Wasota Modifieds. He started in third place. He would finish with the checkered flag. So, obviously, it's incredibly early on in this thing, but he's one of those guys that his last name just synonymous with Brown County Speedway.
Yeah, when you mentioned that on the sports update this morning, I'm like, oh, well, not surprised to see him
and
winning something at the Brown County Speedway, what he's able to do. And we talked to him live in studio. It was a fun conversation with him. And, yeah, not surprised to see him in the leaderboard, to say the least.
Yeah, they're in victory lane. Andy Rossow of Florence, he would start in first place. He would finish with the checkered flag in the Wasota Street Stocks. Trevor Anderson of Watertown starting in third. He would finish in first place in the Wasota Late Models. Wasota Midwest Mods, Taylor Schmidt of Bath would start in second, and he would splash down in first place there. Good on him in the Wasota Midwest Mods. Wasota Modifieds, the aforementioned Arment there in first. And in the Wasota Superstocks, I mentioned him on the broadcast on Friday, and he would finish with the checkered flag. Trevor Nelson of Warner, he would start in third place. A lot of movement there in that Wasota Superstocks in particular, as you had Mark Ablin of Groton start in 11th place. He would finish in third, and a couple of other guys finishing in fourth and fifth, respectively, starting in ninth and eighth, with Austin Arbogast of Huron and Tim Compson of Valley City. So, feels like more often than not that Wasota Superstocks, there's a lot more movement than the other ones. Not necessarily always the case, but it was certainly the case there this last Friday.
Yeah, when you look at it compared to some of the other ones, the Late Models, the Street Stocks, the Midwest Mods, that had the most movement from top to bottom, and that's some high-level racing. There's no doubt about it when you're able to, you know, start where you do. I don't know if it's interesting hearing racers' perspectives on it. Like, do you care where you start? Do you not? And these guys certainly didn't care because they finished in the top five, not starting in that 1-5 position.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details from Brown County Speedway from this last Friday night. High school boys tennis, a really solid weekend for the Aberdeen Roncalli squad. They went 4-1 collectively at the Sioux Falls Christian invite as Roncalli made quick work of Spearfish 9-0. They fell to St. Thomas More 5-4, but they were right there, and then they downed Vermilion 5-4 there on Friday as well. And then victories over Lennox 6-3, and then 9-0 over Madison. So some really, really good quality work, in particular there on Friday from our boy Gannon May. Good stuff there from him in Flight 1 singles, a perfect 3-0 day for him on day one, and a really solid weekend for the Cavaliers on the hardwood, if you can call it that. Spongewood? It's not spongewood.
The clay?
I don't play on clay. But
the court. Tennis court.
Yeah, the court. I don't know what exactly that, like, material is, because it's like, it's not spongy, but, like, yeah, there's some give to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But you mentioned it. Gannon May had himself a day there for the Aberdeen Roncalli tennis squad. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we've obviously talked to him, great golfer as well, and here he is on the tennis court. Whatever it is, he's good with the individual level sports, right? I mean, the tennis and golf, he's pretty solid.
He was also a pretty decent hockey player too, wasn't he?
I think so.
I thought he played hockey too, if memory serves. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, but yeah, great start for him.
Very much indeed. All right, also on the track and field side of things, you had the 100th running of the Howard Wood Dakota Relays. Individually, a couple of highlights here on the girls' side of things. Taryn Hermanson of Aberdeen Central would win in the shot put. And how about Maya Arampatsis of Aberdeen Central winning in the 100-meter hurdles there. So some really good quality notes there for some local area athletes in the form of Aberdeen Central girls. Good stuff there.
Yeah, Taryn Hermanson, I feel like she's been dominating the shot put. Every time we've gone over track and field results, there she is, either top three or winning. And not surprised, and you're a big fan of the Howard Wood, talking to coaches about that. So not surprised to see some of these athletes showcasing their talents there at Howard Wood and the schools, and just, I mean, it's not just South Dakota at Howard Wood. So it's amazing how you can keep your level of focus. I feel like I would lose focus at something like that.
Very much so. Yeah, you've got, I think, 199 different schools that were listed on the website there. So for those of you that are watching on the Facebook stream here, this whole page would be filled up with schools if I just wanted to list all the schools. So pretty crazy stuff there. Also of note, Gracie Reif of Aberdeen Central finishing eighth in the 100-meter run. You also had Kyson Fiance of Aberdeen Central finishing in sixth place in the 300-meter hurdles. Kyle Hedich of Ipswich, seventh in the 100-meter run. And also, how about the fellas there at Ipswich, Rasmus Loken, Maxwell Kulesa, Casey Gaditz, and Kyle Hedich of Ipswich winning the 4x400 relay there. So a lot of really good stuff there from the boys and girls within the region and locally. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full and complete details there. Also, on the softball side of things, a pretty busy weekend at the Redfield Invite. In the fifth place affair, it would be Clark Willow Lake all over Kingsbury County, 22-0. In the third place game, Howard beats up on Milbank, 21-8. Pretty low scoring affair for the championship bout. Duel gets past Redfield, 6-2. Your final score there. Check out hubcityradio.com for more details. A lot of big efforts there for the Bats. A lot of goose eggs there. Duel defeated Clark Willow Lake, 12-0. Duel defeated Milbank, 17-0. A lot of donuts out there. And check out hubcityradio.com for more details. Upcoming next on the show, we're talking some golf action as the head coach of the Ipswich Tiger Boys golf squad, and the girls for that matter, is Coach Matt Pollock. He'll be joining us after a quick break right here on The Sports Hub. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's the Cobra. I am Ron Burgundy? No, I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Monday installment of the show.
As
Matt Pollock joins us here as he's talking with some folks over there. What's going on, Coach? Hey, we're live. This is live radio after all. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? Good. I just got a couple things going on. How's everything there today?
Oh, things are great. No, it's all good. You know, we've had people on, coaches on the show, and you got dogs barking in the background and
the bell going off.
Bells going off there. So, yeah, it happens for sure. But, no, great to have you on the program here. And, well, I tell you what, this is golf weather. I mean, have you worked up a good base tan? I know the season's probably, what'd you say, 40% through? I mean, how's the skin right now? Doing okay?
It is doing all right. I think more of it started off as a windburn and then turned into a tan. So I think that's where we got the season started.
Yeah, so conditions have been pretty good this spring, right, Coach? I mean, being able, obviously, a little bit of wind there to start the season. But overall, conditions been pretty mild out there. You've been able to score pretty well, huh?
Yeah, the last 2 weeks, for sure, the weather has started to go the other direction where the wind is going down and the sun's coming out and it's getting warm, and golfers are starting to respond better to the courses. And the other thing, the courses are starting to shape up a little bit better, too. The greens are getting a little firmer, a little bit more of a true roll on them. So, yeah, the courses are looking good, and the scores are definitely reflecting that.
So this may be a hot take, but I'm not necessarily what you would call a successful golfer. So I appreciate slower greens. I feel like actual golfers, and I say actual, you know, people that are actually decent, they probably prefer faster. What say you, and what do your student athletes kind of prefer?
I think it comes back. I mean, the greens do make a huge difference if they're bouncing, if they're a little rough or a little shaggy. It's not as true of a putt. And as the season goes on, and the students will see that, like Thursday we golfed at Rolling Hills, and that was really, you could tell they had been mowed and rode. And some of the other ones, they're just getting started. Like they're just turning their water on and it's starting to get green. And so to be honest with you, the players want a smooth surface and a true read as they go make their putt.
Looking at your roster here for the boys, it looks like you got four guys out, two eighth graders, a junior and a senior. How are those young guys, especially those eighth graders, been playing here this year?
They're getting better. Every round, every practice round, they are starting to hit the ball a little more square, a little on the face of the club, and getting a little better read off of that. The young guys, they put their time in, but we have a ways to go. Like you said, the roster is young, and I think over the next couple of weeks we'll see how they come around before we get to regions, because regions is only, about 2 weeks away. So
it's insanity to me, the fact that it's already 2 weeks away. It's been a very, very fast-moving season as Matt Pollock joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So how did you guys figure out, hey, Rolling Hills is going to be the spot for us? Because, I mean, you had lots of local schools there. Frederick, Leola, Falkton was there along with you guys, Warner. Is that just kind of like, hey, let's just meet in the Hub City? Or were you thinking about maybe going somewhere else, like another nine-hole course to have a home field advantage, so to speak? Or has it always been over there at Rolling Hills?
I think that's how we ended up at Rolling Hills, is to get away from that home field advantage. I know it had been, and well, before even I got here, it had been in Ipswich quite a few times for the Lake region. And then I think when Aberdeen Christian added and some of those other teams added, it's like, well, where can we go to that really nobody golfs on the most part? Like Frederick is in it now, and some of those other teams where Rolling Hills just ended up being a good central point. And but with Warner being added, I think they have kind of the home field advantage there on that field, and they did a nice job at the LRC too. So I think we just decided it's a nice course. They treat us really well. They let us get on there when we need to. If we need to practice on there, they work, I think, really well with the teams around the area too. So they're just super accommodating.
When you go to these meets, Coach, are you looking for specifics, you know, from your guys that, hey, we really want to see this, we worked on this in practice, whether it's a yardage thing, short game, putting, what kind of goes into that?
What we have worked on with our younger golfers, even on the girls' side, we have some younger golfers there too, and we have a little bit of experience on the girls' side too, but it comes back to minimizing those mistakes. Like, how big is that mistake? Is a mistake an 8 or a 12? That's a big mistake. How do you minimize that and maybe get a 6 or a 7 and cut some of those strokes down and change your focus where if you hit it underneath a tree, don't hit that hero shot. Just punch it back out in the fairway, take your bogey, and move on to the next hole, and try to do your best on that next drive and the next second shot and go from there. As you know, as you golf, is trying to leave your bad shot behind you and forget about it. Kids are just like us. They have a tough time forgetting that stuff. So it comes back to minimizing those mistakes and make sure that score doesn't balloon too high.
Yeah, so do I. I'm in my 30s. I'm still having a hard time forgetting the last shot. And
yeah.
I love the expression, take your medicine. You know, you're right behind a tree. Take your medicine, just punch it out, and you don't need to make that hero shot. See, that's my problem. I'm always going for the hero shot, mm-hmm. and 99 times out of 100, it's going backwards like 20 extra yards, which doesn't help out anybody. Matt Pollock, our guest, head coach of the Ipswich Golf Squad. I'm curious, do you do a whole lot of scouting other courses and stuff like that? Do you try to get out to a certain place maybe a day or two ahead of time, or maybe even play it yourself and say, hey, you know, hole 8 here, then they got a really weird slope. Do you do a whole lot of scouting courses, or not, maybe not so much?
We'll talk about it. It is difficult to get out down the road and maybe golf that course before you golf it during a tournament. We're a B school. We're like a lot of those smaller schools is – our kids are in 100 things. So for them to get out and say, hey, we got to go here on Thursday, well, I got play practice or FCCLA or 4-H or something going on. It's just the spring is really interesting when it comes to the coaching side. There's a lot of things you have to juggle and to accommodate with some of that. The kids still do a nice job of showing up for practice, but it's like, all right, instead of practicing at 3:30 today, we're going to practice at 5 with some of you. And on Saturday, you guys got to come in because you missed for Friday. So it's a lot of juggling with that. If we could do that, I would love to get to the course early, but most of the time we'll talk about it on the way, talk about the different holes, different slopes, and all that good stuff to help out some of the kids that haven't golfed there before.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure if you're a married man or not, but that's a great way to just be like, sorry, honey, I gotta really scout this course beforehand. You know, that's not a bad idea, right?
It's not bad. And I have 5 kids. I think I have 4 of them that would love to go golf that course and go over there, but I haven't figured out how to make that work yet.
So we talk a lot about, you know, the short game on this show, something that I struggle with. I mean, I feel like it's just, that's how you get your shots off, right? I mean, if you can chip and putt, you can drop shots. I mean, I feel like when I'm playing at my best, I mean, I know I'm not that great of a golfer, but when I'm playing at my best is when my chipping and my putting is good. My guess is, you know, that translates to even the high school level when you're playing at, you know, at the higher level and things of that. What's your just outlook on the short game and things of that nature?
I think you said it kind of right on the button there. Is if we get, say we're chipping, we're 20 yards out and we're chipping onto the green, if we can get 10 feet and in, our percentage of making that putt goes way up compared to 15 or 20 feet. And then, you're looking at 20% to make that putt. So we work on that a lot at practice, and with it starting to get really nice out, our greens are really shaping up here in Ipswich. So it's nice we can get out and work on that. But I would say it's just one of those things, like as a player, as a coach, you just got to be patient, because we start out and it's snowy or rainy and windy and wet, and the weather isn't super warm. You just have to wait, be patient. And then like the last month of this season, all right, we really got to put some time in and work on the greens and do that. And you can see the students or the golfer scores change as the season goes on, where I'm only putting twice or once on the green instead of three or four times. My chip is going 10 feet closer to the hole than 25 feet away from the hole. And so it changes. And like you said, if you can shave some of those off around the green, yeah, your bad second shot doesn't look that bad if you take your third shot and put it close to the pin.
Matt Pollock, our guest, head coach of the Ipswich Golf Golf Squad, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Tucker Cadillac, your medalist there this last Thursday. He's kind of been around the block a little bit. He's a senior now. How much coaching do you do on game day? It's kind of like in pitching, you know, in baseball. When you've got a guy that's got a perfect game, you kind of want to stay away from him a little bit. Do golfers kind of come up to you and say, hey, how do you read this thing? Or, you know, how much input do you give on a player that's really playing quite well at the time?
I think when Tucker started off at Rolling Hills there for the conference tournament, he was on point. Like, I was watching his score on my phone there, and he was 1-under, 2-under going into, I think, the final couple holes on that first round. Like, he's rolling. And then you just kind of watch, and you just tell the player, hey, I'm enjoying watching. Just keep doing what you're doing and go from there. If they need some help, they usually flag me down as I'm walking around the course. But for the most part, like he said, Tucker's been around the block. He knows how to make his adjustments. I would say that's probably the biggest difference between an experienced golfer, like a senior golfer, compared to like a seventh or eighth grader, where those golfers that have more experience can make that adjustment because they've had that coaching or that experience, and they can do some of that on their own. Where the younger golfers, sometimes they need some more coaching through the whole hole, where like Tucker, not so much.
And so my kind of on the flip side of that, are those younger golfers asking you like, hey, where do you think I should hit it here?
Well, and that's kind of how I approach the coaching side of it, is I will just go ask them. Like, I'm not going to wait for them to ask me a question. I'll ask them, like, what are you thinking here? Like, take me through your process to go from this point to that point. And it's just interesting because every golfer is different, and every boys or girls, doesn't matter on that side of it. It's just, I want to get to learn their process and their thought process so I can help them and coach them in a better way than say, hey, you have to do it like this. I think the direct approach, maybe on the golf side of it, because it is so individual, it's difficult to do that. You got to know each and every player and how to address them and how to get them in the right frame of mind to hit whatever shots they need to hit.
And that's an interesting point. You know, maybe a different golfer or somebody hits their 8-iron really good, and then somebody doesn't hit their 8-iron, but they're confident in like their 7 or 6. Do you run into those kinds of things as well?
Yeah, I would say, and that's maybe on the younger side and the older side of that. Where we'll talk to a golfer like, how are you hitting your driver today? Well, it just keeps going off to the right. Well, can you hit your 3-wood here? Well, yeah, I can hit my 3-wood. I can hit it right down the middle for 270 yards. Like, well, just do that then. Like, make that adjustment. The hole's only 310 yards anyway. Do a little bit of math and work it out. I was like, well, yeah, I can hit a 40-yard chip into it. I don't have to drive the green or do that. And I think, like you said, I've had some golfers in the past. I'll just go up and ask them. I said, are you not hitting your 7-iron very well today? Because I know their yardage and everything. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm going to hit a really solid 8. All right, then do that. I mean, sometimes, as you know, in life, life's a lot like golf and life are pretty similar, where some things are working that day and some things aren't. You just have to know that sometimes you need to leave that in the bag and wait till the next day to use it again. So
yeah, sometimes just don't overthink it. You know, if one thing is going well, just keep going with that. You don't need to mix it up. And I feel like that's my biggest thing, especially with, you know, on your, let's say, 250 yards out. I always say to Matt, whenever we're golfing in one of these scrambles or something like this over the summer, I'm like, boy, this 3-hybrid, it could go 250 straight as an arrow, or it can go about 10 feet. And feels like 8 out of 10 times it goes about 10 feet, which is not great. But, you know, sometimes just go to the 7, a trusty 7 or something like that. So at least that's my trusty club anyway. But kind of wrapping things up here, Coach, what's on tap for you guys next for the boys and girls alike?
This week we have a little time off at the varsity, which is super great for us. We're ready to get back to the range and do some fine-tuning on some of the things that we've been working on. Anyway, last week we had a bunch of tournaments. Today we have a middle school tournament. Friday we have a middle school JV meet. And then after that we're pre-regions, and then the week after that we're regions in there. So we're going to try to sandwich a regular tournament in between regions and regions. And so really we're just looking to fine-tune stuff right now, enjoy the weather, and get out and do some golfing.
Talking a little girls golf here, Coach, Ava Davis, a junior, Molly Simon. How have you liked how they played this year here in 24-25?
Well, Molly's done a nice job. She has played for us since seventh grade, so she's come along nicely. She's put the time in. She's does a nice job with what we ask her to do. Ava's brand new, so she's done a nice job of listening and learning. And I think with some of those high schoolers or students that have been out for other sports, comes back to how coachable are you? Or do you listen? Do you apply once you're told to do something or how you're told to do something? And Ava's been phenomenal with that. Whatever we've asked her to do, she's done a nice job of responding to the best of her ability. Like, as you know, as a golfer, it's not a sport. You usually just pick up a club and you hit it where you want to and everything's super easy. It's just not like that. So.
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of coachability, I would think most are very coachable because it is such a game where it is so mental, and if a coach sees certain things with your swing or a certain read here, I would be shocked to see student-athletes not being coachable. But is that something that you have maybe not run across at Ipswich, but you've maybe seen on the course at a certain meet or something like that? You see a coach that says, hey, you know, you should really go with this here, and they go with something else, and you're like, huh? Maybe you should have listened to your coach.
And that's how it is. I think, like I said, I've coached a lot of different sports too. I've coached football and track and golf and basketball and everything. You just, when you go to different tournaments, you watch some of these coaches that coach. I mean, you will see some players. The majority of players are super awesome. They're super great. And some are like, well, no, I'm going to do it this way. Like, oh, and then they hit their shot in the tree or bounce it off a tee box or something. Like, maybe you should have listened to your coach. Like, it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen to a certain point. I've been blessed, to be honest with you, with the players we've had in Ipswich. They've been phenomenal. They've been really open to what's suggested to them, and they do their research. Like, some of the golfers that are super serious about it, they're out there, they're researching how to do some swings and how to play some shots and do some of that. So I've been blessed in Ipswich. I've seen it in some other areas, and as you go to maybe like little kids baseball or like six-year-olds, like, well, that parent just needs to cool off a little bit. Like, just settle down, let them play, have some fun. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. And can't have much more fun than being on a golf course, no question. Well, Coach, continued success here this year for the Tigers. Thanks for being a part of the program, and we'll talk to you later on down the road.
All right, perfect. Thanks, fellas. Have a good day.
You do the same. Thanks so much. Head Coach Pollock joining us here on Fox Sports Everdeen, Matt Pollock for the Ipswich squad. And, you know, I'd be the guy in the corner saying I told you so. I mean, far be it for me to coach anybody on anything, specifically golf. But, you know, if I think I know a thing, or let's just for the sake of argument say that I actually do know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's like, no, I'm going to go with this one instead. And then they, you know, chunk it or they put it off of a tee box. I'd be there just tapping my foot saying, I told you so.
Yeah. I'd be the same way.
100%.
Yeah. And it's just interesting hearing the perspectives on that. You know, I feel like a guy like Tucker Cadlick and Coach Pollock, they could be maybe having a different discussion.
Mm-hmm.
An eighth grader, somebody who hasn't really seen much experience, I think that's a little bit different.
And I think also the fact that we see this in football all the time on the NFL side of things is good players want to be coached. You know what I mean? It's like Tom Brady, how many times was he like, I want to be coached hard. I want to be the best. And I've talked about this with Paula Kruger. When you're sort of recruiting somebody or even to start the season, like you write up a piece of paper like this, it's a contract, and you say, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a player that averages X amount of points? Do you just want to get playing time? Do you want to be an all-conference player? Do you want to be a all-American? Like, okay, you sign this contract. I'm going to coach you as hard as your goals mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of changed a little bit because of transfer portal and NIL and all those sorts of things. But, you know, it's something to think about. It's like, hey, I'm going to coach you as hard as you want to be coached.
Yeah, no, I think they teach you that more so at the high school level and things of that, because like you said, it's a little bit different in college. And, you know, a coach might say, hey, I think, you know, you hear this a lot. Like, I knew this, a coach will say, hey, I knew this kid was special. I needed to coach him a certain way.
Right.
Than you do a different player based on what he's seeing. So it's, he or her is seeing. So yeah, that's an interesting point. And golf is just, it's such a mental thing. And it's, I think a very, you know, we talk a lot about experience for golf, an individual game. Like, I feel like experience is even more vital
mm-hmm.
because if you play a course, you know where to hit the ball.
Right.
Like, if you've never played a course before, you don't know, oh, it's a dog leg left, or, hey, I played this course before. I know I can cut the corner mm-hmm. and give me a, 150-yard shot. Now, if you don't do the kind of the research that he was talking about, you do the research beforehand, it could be difficult to, quote-unquote, find that shot that you're looking for.
I love cutting that corner on hole number 9 at Lee
Park. Oh, it's the best.
It's my big fan.
It's the best. I love that shot. But the problem with I've been having on that specific hole is I've been a little bit too far right. I need to go, you know, the tree right by the 150?
Yep.
That's where I want to hit it. Never. I did it, I think, one time. All my other drives, I'm trying to swing so hard that it's just going so far right.
Been there. Been there, done that. My first ever birdie in my entire life, hole number 9 at Lee Park. I bombed it over those trees on the right-hand side, cut that corner.
I struggle on that hole.
It's a feast or famine.
Because if you miss it off the back, it's all downhill. So if you have to chip it back down, you're in trouble. So what I've been trying to do now is just leaving it short. So if I do have to chip, I can chip uphill, and then I'll have an uphill putt.
That's how I think I did it, matter of fact, now that you mention it. All right, good stuff there with Coach Pollock. We'll come on back and talk some college news and notes, Northern State baseball from this last weekend, and Northern State track and field at the USD tune-up, and also a pretty decent weekend for the Minnesota Twins. They're off today. We'll talk about what's on tap for them after this and wrap up the Monday installment of the Hub. Final segment for your Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm going to have to shoot a couple text messages out there. I'll be curious to see if there's one final Aberdeen Wings Weekly. We had head coach Scott Langer on the program on Friday. If you missed that discussion, check it out on hubcityradio.com. But I'll be curious to see if they just do one final one to wrap up the season. If they do, we'll have that for you tomorrow. If not, then we'll just
figure it out.
We'll figure it out. As Pete Carroll used to say, you'll have to wait and see. So looking forward to that. That'll be tomorrow on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A solid weekend for the Northern State baseball squad. They took 2 out of 3 in Crookston, including a 20-9 win in game 2 out of 3. And we're talking about it off the air. You know, if they just would have started a little bit better here, maybe have some good luck in terms of injuries and what have you, maybe they make the conference tournament. Unfortunately, not the case. But over the last month of the season, Northern State Baseball and Coach Barry's crew, they played some really good ball.
Yeah, they really turned it around. I mean, you look at the start of the season, it just wasn't great. You know, they went out there to Arizona. They didn't really play well in Tucson. They come back. It was a rough start. I mean, they start the season with conference games right away against receiving votes, Minnesota State, Mankato. I mean, that's just a tough way to start your season. And then you started to find your groove offensively. The pitching got a little bit better, too, as the season moved along, and you were able to finish strong. I mean, you score 20 runs in a game versus Crookston. You win 2 out of 3 in that series. You lose the finale, but overall, really nice end of the season for them.
It was. Aberdeen Smitty's baseball, courtesy of Culver's of Aberdeen, an 0-4 weekend for them, but they played some really, really stiff competition, and they hung in there in every single game with the exception of one of them. You can check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full individual game recaps there. Again, courtesy of Culver's of Aberdeen. They're back in action this upcoming weekend at Fossum Field on Saturday and Sunday with Ryan Martin on the play-by-play. Once again, courtesy of Culver's of Aberdeen. Twins are off today. They're sitting at 7 games back of first place Detroit as they all be back in action tomorrow against your Orioles.
Big series. They play the Orioles 6 times in the last 9 games.
Back at it tomorrow.